pleased to be outstanding with the arrival of Mayor, Councillor Tony Ramsey and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Kelvin Torrey.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome and Happy New Year to each and every one of you. Could I please ask you to remain upstanding for the prayer? Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. The reconciliation statement, Mountain City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants, past and present. Please be seated. Okay, item two, apologies and leave of absence.
No apologies received this evening, Madam Mayor.
Three, change.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I just did want to note he's not an apology, but Councillor Matuszewski has been held up on the train that he was travelling from work, so he will be a little bit late this evening.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. I'm glad he let someone know. Three, changes to the order of business. Four, deputations. Now, it gives me great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, gives me great pleasure at this point, item four, deputations, to receive a member of the Victorian State Emergency Services. You all know them as the SES. The SES is made up of professional and dedicated volunteers who respond to flood, storm, tsunamis and earthquake disasters, and I hope we have none of those. Saving lives and protecting property is part of their everyday sort of things that they do. Council has an extremely close working relationship with the SES, working hand in hand to help keep our community safe. I would like to now call forward Mr. Ray Jasper, Regional Manager of the Victorian State Emergency Services Central Region, to present to Council a certificate of audit for the Municipal Emergency Management Plan. Well, that was lovely. Thank you very, very much. Okay, councillors, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest, conflict of interest of any councillor.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I declare a direct interest in item 14.3 in tonight's ordinary meeting of council dated 3rd of February 2015. And under section 79.2 subsection A.ii of the Local Government Act 1989, I have advised the CEO accordingly.
Madam Mayor, I also have a direct interest to item 14.3 in tonight's meeting, and I've advised the CEO accordingly. And I also have just an interest On 11.9, as the applicants reside on the road on Holden Road, which is around 10 kilometres long.
Thank you, Councillor Clare.
Madam Mayor, I also have an indirect conflict of interest on item 11.7, and I have advised the CEO accordingly also. Thank you.
Madam Deputy Mayor, I have an indirect interest in item number 11.7, and I have advised the CEO accordingly.
Madam Mayor, I declare a conflict of interest in item 18.3 on tonight's agenda, which is the CEO Review Committee report.
Well, I think after all those conflicts, we can all go home. So, interesting. Okay, that being noted, the adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Do we have a mover for those minutes?
I'd like to move a recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 16th of December 2014 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Pugliari. We have a mover being Councillor Dunn, a seconder being Councillor Pugliari. Can I see all those in favour? Thank you. The motion's carried. Correspondence inwards. There was nil, but we received an email from the Office of the Minister for Planning, Minister Richard Wynne. He's currently ill at the moment, but he received our correspondence, and once he's back on board, he will action that as soon as possible. And that was after Councillor Dunn's notice of motion. But we wish the Minister speedy recovery and look forward to him taking up his role in full. Petitions and joint letters. Do you want me to start? Okay. I will commence. We had... Oh, sorry. I'm already going into public question time. Please forgive me. Nil to... Item 9 is the resumption of debate or other business carried over from the previous meeting. This item, planning application PA 2014/4548, two lot rural subdivision at 1 to 1.05 Leakes Road, Plumpton. Mr. Baggio to report.
Madam Mayor, I'd just like to rise and put up a resolution that Council resolves to issue a planning permit for the two-lot subdivision of land at 1 to 105 Leakes Road in Plumpton, subject to the following conditions that I have circulated to all councillors, six councillors, and there are conditions from 1 to 11, and I believe everyone's got a copy of it.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Do I have a seconder for the alternate resolution?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Okay, we have a mover for the alternate being Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor seek clarification? All those in favour of... Is the motion opposed? Could I see it for all those in favour? The motion has been carried. Thank you. Believe it or not, I'm under control. Okay, public question time. The first question, and I think on first cap off the rank. Is that all right?
That's okay, Madam Mayor.
It's from Mr. John Goodman of 5 Abbey Place, Melton West. John is in the gallery, yes. It says, could Council explain what expectations they feel are appropriate of our elected representatives in serving our community?
and what they should be. Now, Mr. Goodman, I can read you chapter and verse of the objectives of council and the role of council laws. The objectives of council is basically the primary objective for council is to endeavour to achieve the best outcomes for the local community, having regard to the long-term and cumulative effect of our decisions. In seeking to achieve its primary objective, council must have regard to the following facilitating objectives: to promote the social, economic and environmental viability and sustainability of the municipal district, to ensure that resources are used efficiently and effectively and services are provided in accordance with the best value principles to best meet the needs of our local community, to improve the overall quality of life of people in our local community, to promote appropriate business and employment opportunities, to ensure that service and facilities provided by the council are accessible and equitable, to ensure the equitable imposition of rates and charges, and to ensure transparency and accountability in council decision making. The role of councillors is to provide leadership for the good governance of Melton, and this is in our Melton City Council Code of Conduct. This includes acting as a representative government by taking into account the diverse needs of our local community in decision making, providing leadership by establishing strategic objectives and monitoring their achievement, maintaining the viability of council by ensuring that resources are managed in a responsible and accountable manner, advocating the interests of the local community to other communities and governments, acting as a responsible partner in government by taking into account the needs of other communities and fostering community cohesion and encouraging active participation in civic life. Now, they're the things or the roles we run by, but in my opinion, I believe that a councillor is there to be a leader of the community, to make decisions, to spend as much time learning about the community, being involved in the community, attending as many council briefings, meetings and committees of council and council functions as possible to interact and best represent the community. And, it's a sacrifice and you give up a lot of time, but you learn a lot and you're in the best position and the most well-rounded position to make critical decisions if you make yourself available. Now, some councillors, for reasons, may not be able to do it during the day for work reasons, and sometimes people might be ill. But a councillor needs to commit to the role, and to do it justice, they need to be available as many times as they can to fulfil all those statutory and council obligations. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The next question this evening is from Mr. Alex Jinks. Mr. Jinks is in the gallery. His question reads, in relation to the Melbourne Airport intention to expand both the end zones and noise contours and the aircraft overlay as shown in Melbourne Airport Master Plan 2013, specifically in relation to the existing east-west runway that will impact Diggers Rest, Bloomdale, St Ives and proposed residential development south-southeast of Diggers Rest. Has the City of Melton fully investigated the impact of the increased noise levels and presented an official written objection to the proposed expansion of the end zones and noise contours and aircraft overlays? If so, please advise of the availability of said documents with or without FOI request. And the reference is to the Melbourne Airport Master Plan 2013, Chapter 12. Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development, will provide a response.
Thank you, Mr. Jinks, for your question. You may recall that at its meeting in July of 2013, Council actually considered an officer's report in relation to the proposed master plan, or what was then the draft master plan 2013. In its submission, Council indicated that it understood that the alternative noise contours being investigated by the airport to deal with aircraft noise And we reserved our right to comment on any alternative or supplementary planning controls that might have been introduced subsequently. I should point out that despite the fact that the master plan has been adopted by the airport and subsequently the federal government, which is this document here, dated 2013, there have in fact been no changes to the overlay controls as they apply as a result of this document. I am happy to provide you in a written response a copy of our submission to the government, to the airport and to the government. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Second question from Mr. Jinks is, has or will the City of Melton sue for compensation, soundproofing, double glazing, etc., on behalf of residents' ratepayers for properties impacted by unacceptable high noise levels? Those properties would include Diggers Rest, Bloomdale, St Ives and proposed residential development south-east of Diggers Rest and also Hillside, which will also be subjected to significant noise level increases on the opening of the second east-west runway. Again, Mr Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Mr Jinks, for your second question. In short, the answer to that is no. As I've indicated, there have in fact already been no changes made to the airport environs overlay at this point in time. That may come as a result of the strategy. However, there's been no process initiated by the state government to implement that. Council's involvement in relation to aircraft noise is confined to those areas included within what's known as the Melbourne Airport Environs Overlay, as you know, which is indicated under the council's planning scheme. Any planning application for subdivision and new dwellings within that overlay area must be referred to Melbourne Airport for comment, which in turn can impose conditions in relation to those issues that you've spoken about in your question. Council has no other statutory power in relation to aircraft noise. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. The next question this evening is from Mario and Giuseppe Santucci in the gallery. Their question reads, with the planned closure of the Western Highway median strip, road users and residents on Mount Cottrell Road, Beattie's Road in part, the Water Reserve Road, Paynes Road part, and Judd Court are forced to travel up to 7 kilometres on unsafe, unsealed roads to access their homes or reach their destination. Travel on these roads is very dangerous and we are concerned for our safety, the safety of our friends and families and other road users. Frequently, drivers lose control, damage or destroy fences which contain livestock, and these drivers often do not inform the landowner. This means that livestock can escape onto the roads and go towards either of the highways, which poses even more danger to even more road users. This has happened on numerous occasions, and landowners have had to deal with and sort these issues out themselves. Luckily, no person was hurt in these instances, but the risk is definitely there. People walking on the streets for health reasons or children riding on the road are also at enormous risk due to the conditions of the road, from flying rocks of passing vehicles, and because people cannot see pedestrians due to decreased visibility from the dust of other drivers. In addition, the dust from other vehicles decreases visibility to the point that drivers cannot see to continue to drive. In the interest of safety of all road users and residents of the area, could Council please explain exactly what they intend to do to improve safety on these roads and indicate the time frame for these actions to be completed? Why is it that Council chooses to pull up an existing functioning road in good condition, e.g. Old Park Drive, Melton, and reseal it unnecessarily while leaving other roads unsafe and exposing people to dangers? Again, Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you for your detailed question. Council is aware, and I'm sure you've noticed occurring over the last few days, that Vic Roads are currently closing the median strip crossing points on the Western Freeway where they intersect with Mount Cottrell Road and Paynes Road in Rockbank. And I believe this is largely the works you're referring to. By way of background, you might recall that late last year, the coroner's office made recommendations in relation to two separate accidents on the Western Freeway at Rockbank. These recommendations included that all crossing points on the Western Freeway between Caroline Springs and the Melton Township be closed. Council supported the recommendations of the coroner, given the significant dangers that these crossing points present to all road users. Having said that, Council does recognise that the works at Vic Roads are undertaking at the moment in closing those two locations I've mentioned will have an impact on a number of rural residents who will in turn be required to, will need to travel greater distances to get to their desired destination. Whilst there's no doubt this will be somewhat inconvenient for those residents, it's considered reasonable given the benefits that the works present to all road users. There are approximately 150 kilometres of unsealed road across the city of Melton, and that number is slowly reducing each year. Council currently has in place a maintenance regime over the unsealed road network to seek to ensure that it is maintained in a safe and usable condition. The condition of the roads directly affected by these closures will obviously need to be monitored by Council over the forthcoming months. And if needed, the maintenance regime for those roads will be increased in frequency to ensure that they are maintained in a good and safe condition. Finally, the last element of your question refers to recent works undertaken in Old Park Drive, which is in the Killarney Lakes Estate in the Melton Township. In late 2014, Council placed an asphalt overlay over this section of road as its condition was deteriorating. Whilst this road was already sealed, as you point out, like many other sealed roads, it requires to be maintained to ensure that it remains in usable condition. Council has an extensive network of sealed roads across the municipality in excess of 850 kilometres, and it has a program in place to ensure that they too are maintained in a safe manner that maximises the life of the relevant road surfaces. Thank you.
As this lady doesn't often attend or hasn't, I don't recognise her. I'll let that clarification go. Could you?
Through you, Madam Mayor, there's quite a number of rural roads that are included within what's known as the urban growth boundary, which is the future growth area, which will in effect connect the Melton Township to Caroline Springs over time. Those roads include Mount Cottrell Road, Payne's Road, Troops Road, etc. Council does not have on its program to seal those roads, and the reason for that is that they will be sealed as development occurs, urban development occurs throughout those areas. As I've indicated in my answer earlier, Council has a program in place to ensure that the roads are maintained, albeit in a gravel standard, to a safe standard. Clearly residents and drivers on those roads need to drive to the conditions. In terms of when they will be sealed, that will depend on how the development unfolds throughout those areas, but progressively those roads will be sealed. Thank you.
Sorry, Angela, you attend lots of council meetings. You know interjecting will not be allowed. Next question, thank you. Next question. Angela Tavana, you have been asked to please cease the comment. This will be your first warning. Thank you. Next question.
Next question, Madam Mayor, is from Andrula Tuvana, who is in the gallery. The question reads, does Council keep a register, hard copy or digital, of all public questions asked at Council meetings? If so, how far back does this register, hard copy or digital, go? How is this register accessed by members of the public? Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager, Corporate Services, will respond.
The Council does not have a register of public questions in either hard copy or digital form, as it's not a statutory requirement of Council. Council does, however, include a written summary of all public questions within the minutes of each Council agenda, which are publicly available on our website and do date back to 2010. Furthermore, Council also has audio recordings of each Council meeting available also on the website, recording the live public questions of each agenda, which again go back to 2010. Finally, just in clarification of the points that you raise, observing our obligations under the Records Act, Council does indeed retain copies of all public questions in hard copy form from 1992 to 2007 and in digital form in our electronic content management record system from 2007 to the current date. Depending on the circumstances, these records may be accessed through direct application or a Freedom of Information application. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Next question is also from Andrula Tuvana, and it reads, the Melton Council and other councils in the state of Victoria are established by particular sections of the Victorian Constitution Act 1975, bracket Part 2A, Sections 74A and 74B, close bracket. Could Council please provide a copy of the signed enactment page of the Constitution Act 1975? Victoria, as well as the signed repeal of the former Constitution of the State of Victoria, namely the 1855 Victorian Constitution. Could Council also include the names of all signatories to these two documents? Thank you. Responding to that question, it's not strictly correct to say that Melton Council and other councils in the State of Victoria are established by particular sections of the Victorian Constitution Act. It's rather the case that the system of local government as a distinct and essential tier of government is established under Part 2A, Section 74A of the Constitution Act. This is not quite the same thing as stated in the question. However, having said that, each council or municipality existing in the State of Victoria is established or constituted by orders in council published in the Victoria Government Gazette under the provisions of the Local Government Act 1989. With respect to your request for copies of the signed enactment page of the Constitution Act 1975 as well as the signed repeal of the former Constitution of the State of Victoria, namely the 1855 Victorian Constitution, I advise that Council is not the repository of these documents that you seek and therefore is not in a position to provide these documents to you. They are, to my understanding, documents of the State Parliament and therefore I suggest that your request would be better directed to the Parliamentary Library or to the State Member of Parliament that represents you. Next question.
Excuse me, the question has been asked and it has been answered. Thank you very much. Next question, please.
No.
Next question, would you
There's no requirement for you to view those documents. So. I know that I don't.
Next
you don't
question, please.
Next question is from Mr. John Southall. His question reads, can Council place on their website and in their annual report detailed attendance rates of each of our elected representatives at Council briefings and meetings, committees of Council and Council events? Mr. Peter Bean will respond.
Thanks for the question, John. Look, I'll raise the matter with Council for consideration outside of this meeting, and should the decision be that this is adopted, it would be relatively easy to report what you're requesting of Council meetings, briefings and committees of Council. There may be some difficulty surrounding recording attendance at Council events as it's often difficult to define what constitutes an event and the recording by Council staff at functions where staff may not be aware of Council attendance, but we can discuss it with the Council and provide a response in due course. Thanks.
Thank you,
Mr. Bean. Next question is from Mr. John Goodman, who's in the gallery, and the question reads, with all the drama surrounding childcare costs to Council and the concern about transparency and value for ratepayers' dollars, how can Council justify paying any councillor $30,000 for doing nothing? Please don't quote the Local Government Act, as the community that pays your allowances are watching. Mr. Peter Bean will respond.
John, I won't quote the Act to you, John. Individually and collectively as the council, the role of councillors is to provide leadership for an enormous and diverse range of duties pertaining to the good governance of Melton. The Mayor, in responding to your previous question in as far as her interpretation of what's the role of a council, I think clearly set out the elements within the Act and also councillors' code of conduct that sort of pertain to these sort of enormous range of diverse duties. The Local Government Act and the Code of Conduct do clearly set these out. The Act also stipulates a requirement of a councillor largely legally being that they must be in attendance at ordinary meetings of council, and should attendance not be possible, an apology must be lodged. We are well aware that failure to attend three consecutive meetings will lead to further action against that councillor continuing. There are no further legal requirements of that councillor past that function. Any representation by a councillor on community committees and regional and state government advisory bodies are agreed to and subsequently adopted by council either at the statutory meeting of council or a meeting that is determined at that statutory meeting. The allowances that are set out to be provided to councils are done so by a process set out by the state government that places councils within a category that is considered appropriate to the size and complexity of the organisation and the municipality. These categories require council to fix an allowance annually within the range that is stated within these categories. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. It reads, former Mayor, Councillor Cathy Malik, advocated strongly to the previous state government on behalf of Diggers Rest residents with respect to the Diggers Rest railway station. Her efforts were very much appreciated. However, they appear to have fallen on deaf ears. The newly elected state government have promised to provide better services for rail commuters as part of their election platform. Would council once again write to state government officials reiterating the importance of sufficient, acceptable amenities for Diggers Rest? So, once again, Peter Bean to respond. Oh, no.
Luke, you're responding.
Oh, sorry, my mistake. Mr. Luke Shannon is responding.
Thank you, David, for your question. I'm aware that Council has previously effectively lobbied at a state level to have the amenities made available at the Diggers Rest Station, and not, clearly that's still a significant issue. So, yes, we will continue to take that up, particularly with the local member. Thank you.
Next question is also from David O'Connor, and it reads, in accordance with the current household rates notice, residents are entitled to free access to the Melton Recycling Centre twice with a single axle trailer and once with a dual axle trailer, subject to each load not exceeding water level. Given that the average trailer is sized 1,800 millimetres by 1,200 millimetres by 250 millimetres, which equates to approximately 540 litres, would council consider, or would council therefore accept two standard 240 litre wheelie bins of hard waste in lieu of one single axle pass? Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. Just to recap on what's available currently in terms of waste disposal, that I'm sure you're well aware of, annually Council provides residents with the following alternatives to dispose of hard waste. Firstly, either two visits with a single axle trailer filled to the water level to the Melton Recycling Facility. Alternatively, one visit with the dual axle trailer at a filled to water level to the Melton Recycling Facility, or finally, the opportunity for one booked hard waste collection, collecting up to 3 cubic metres from the property in question. Council would generally not recommend that residents take a wheelie bin to the recycling facility, and I'm not sure really in which circumstances you might. It would be pretty unusual. Generally, we would encourage you to utilise the curbside collection, which is obviously operates on a weekly basis. If you have a particular situation, though, that you would like to discuss with us, I'm happy to do so outside of this meeting. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I won't allow clarification because I've got a visual of you going from Diggers Rest with two wheelie bins.
The next question is from Glenn and Barbara Ford. Are they in the meeting?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. The first question reads, is it council, policy regarding the Green Wedge Management Plan to support the remaining broadacre farmers to continue primary production. Again, Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Barbara, for your question. Council's Green Wedge Management Plan for the Green Wedge North area, which obviously incorporates land within the Holden Road vicinity, does recognise that primary production is becoming an increasingly difficult task throughout the municipality. The plan does, however, seek to promote ongoing primary production and diversity in production where possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. The second question from Glenn and Barbara Ford is, how would council policy support and encourage the younger generation of a farming family to stay on the land and continue? An extra dwelling for family members would be positive encouragement. Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you for this follow-up question. Whilst recognising, as I've indicated, that primary production is a difficult undertaking within the municipality, it's also appreciated that providing opportunities for ongoing farming activities through the generations is obviously of significant benefit. In some instances, this does require further accommodation on site for family members. This in itself, however, does not necessarily require land subdivision to achieve this outcome. I am aware that item 11.9 on tonight's agenda does address a specific application in relation to your property, which will be discussed by Council shortly. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. As that brings a close public question time, we'll move on to presentation of staff reports.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the following items in block and accept officers' recommendations for items 11.1, 11.2, 11.4, 11.5 and 11.6.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Have I got a seconder for that recommendation?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
We have a mover being Councillor Majlik, a seconder being Councillor Cugliari. All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Welcome, Councillor Madaluski. Okay, we are now up to 11.3 of the staff reports. The Melton A Learning City Community Learning Plan 2015 to 2018. It says Peter Blunden to Peter Bean to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Very close, same initials, but no one here is appealing and attractive as myself. Madam Mayor, I present to Council this evening the City of Melton Learning Plan for 2015-18. The existing plan dated 2011-2014 was reviewed in 2014 and a new plan was developed to commence in 2015. This has been done in accordance with the Community Learning Board's current terms of reference and appropriate Council policies and guidelines. The new Community Learning Plan, labelled Melton A Learning City Community Learning Plan 2015-18, is structured similarly to the current plan. It has priority themes for economic development and social inclusion, as well as themes across the life cycle for children, youth and adults. A new priority theme, advocacy, has been introduced that will align to the City's advocacy strategy. The new plan also outlines the implementation and evaluation methodology and the accountability and reporting processes, as well as the Learning Board's governance structure. There are some key features within the new plan that are significant advance on the previous plans. These include a commitment from the Learning Board to, in three parts, forge community partnerships and agreements to tackle some of the City's intergenerational social and economic issues related to learning over time, identifying Melbourne as a learning city, as a learning city by adopting the UNESCO Framework for Key Features of Learning Cities and the Australian Centre of Excellence for Local Government's Learning as a Driver of Change Learning Community Framework, and thirdly, actively building on our engagement and knowledge experience and exchange with the UNESCO Institute of Lifelong Learning and the UNESCO Global Network of Learning Cities. The Community Learning Plan Action Framework 2015-18, which is attached to this draft as well, also outlines the key activities to be undertaken to achieve the learning plan's intended outcomes. A more detailed annual plan is developed each year in accordance with the Learning Board, which will be guided by the Action Framework and ongoing evaluation for Council to be presented with. The Community Learning Board believes that Melton A Learning City Community Learning Plan 2015-2018 has the potential to realise significant benefits for residents, contribute to improving Melton's community image and continue the regional, national and global recognition of Melton's best practice in this area. The plan, Madam Mayor, is attached as Appendix 1 and the action plan is also attached as Appendix 2. As far as consultation is concerned, Madam Mayor, the Community Learning Board is an advisory committee of council and represents all secondary, primary and tertiary institutions, not only within the municipality but within the western region of Melbourne. With this presentation, Madam Mayor, I ask that for a small amendment to be made to the recommendation presented on page 34, and where it says the council endorses, I request the council consider that they adopt Melton A Learning City Community Learning Plan 2015-2018, and the Community Learning Action Plan Framework 2015-2018. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for this recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move this recommendation that council endorses Melton A Learning City Community Learning Plan 2015-2018 and the Community Learning Plan Action Framework 2015-2018.
That was the Melton Council adopt.
Adopt the recommendation.
Thanks, Lord. Sorry, Councillor Turner.
Right.
Is there a seconder for that?
I'm happy to second the motion, Madam Mayor, and commend a wonderful document that the officers have put together. It's a great strategy and a great way forward. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. I'd also like to congratulate the board on such the Community Learning Board on such a beautiful, well-worded and very progressive document. The motion's been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Majlik. Does anyone oppose the motion? Does anyone abstain? All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. The next item is Council 11.7, which I have declared an indirect conflict. So, Councillor Dunn, could you please take the chair?
Madam Mayor, I'll also be leaving the chambers as I've declared my indirect conflict as well.
Thank you.
Okay, item 11.7, delegations of authority exercise, 1st of July 2014 to 31st of December 2014, presented by Peter Bean.
Thank you, Acting Chair.
Madam Chair, I'm happy to move the recommendation as put.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder to that motion?
I'll second that, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Colliari. Do I have anyone opposing the motion? Anyone abstaining? All those in favour? Declare it carried. Please invite Madam Mayor back in.
Now, did the deputy do a good job? Excellent. Okay, we'll now move forward to item 11.8, asset management strategy and plans. Mr. Luke Shannon to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report presents to Council an asset management strategy along with associated asset management plans for adoption. If I can refer councillors to Appendix 1 and 2, you'll find fairly voluminous documentation that support the strategy and the associated plans. Council currently has extensive infrastructure assets under its control, the value of which exceeds $1 billion in replacement value. These assets include buildings, roads, bridges, parks, footpaths and drainage infrastructure. The number of these assets continue to grow throughout each year, both through Council's Capital Works Program, but also through the provision of infrastructure provided by developers as part of new developments across the municipality. Council has been actively involved in the Municipal Association of Victoria's Advanced Step Asset Management Program, which provides a framework for achieving standardised processes and procedures for asset management across the state. The asset management strategy, which is attached as Appendix 1, is a higher level document, which is in essence documents the way in which Council looks after its assets, both on a day-to-day basis, that is maintenance and operations, but also in the medium to long term. Accompanying the strategy are specific asset management plans for four different categories, being road assets, drainage assets, building assets, and finally open space assets. The asset management plans effectively articulate Council's asset management practices in relation to each of these asset types. Madam Mayor, the strategy and associated plans set out further actions that will be carried out, in particular by Council staff, over the forthcoming 4 years to further develop Council's asset management practices. The finalisation of the strategy and associated plans is an important piece of work for Council. It has involved significant work across the organisation and will continue to assist Council in further understanding its extensive range of assets and their ongoing maintenance and renewal requirements. And as a consequence, Madam Mayor, will further assist Council in its annual budgeting process. I commend to Council the strategy and the plans attached in Appendix 1 and 2. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillors seek further clarification on this item? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommendation, and if there's a seconder, can I say a few words about this notice of motion?
Certainly, Councillor Magillick. Councillor Dunn, you'd like to second?
I'd like to second the motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Magillick?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank the officers and their departments for all the hard work that has certainly gone into this very important document. It's an extremely complicated and intricate issue, and the officers have done a great job. This is an extremely important document, and as I said, it's what makes our municipality function at the level we are currently functioning at. I just hope that once rate capping gets implemented, our asset management will not fall below a substandard, as I am led to believe is the case in New South Wales local councils. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Magillick. As we have a mover for the motion being... Now I've lost my place. Councillor Magillick, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Does anyone oppose the motion? Does anyone abstain for the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. 11.9, Planning Application PA 2014/4593, 3-lot rural subdivision and the use and development of a lot 2 for the purpose of a dwelling and outbuilding at 107 to 161 Lakes Road, Plumpton. Mr. Shannon to report.
Madam Mayor, just reminding you that I do have an interest on this item, just an interest.
Okay.
So I'm still allowed to sit and vote on the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari.
Madam Mayor, I also just like to stand and put forward an alternative resolution for PA 2014/4593, the 3-lot subdivision, and the use of a development proposed lot 2 for the purpose of a dwelling and an outbuilding of land at 107 to 161 Leakes Road in Plumpton. And if it does get seconded, I'd like just to speak on it for a couple of seconds.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. You may be seated. We have an alternate recommendation before us, moved by Councillor Cugliari. Is there a seconder? Alternate motion, sorry. I've been corrected. We have a seconder?
I would like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Okay, we have an alternate motion before us, moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Carley. Councillor Cugliari, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've put forward an alternative motion based on many reasons. Madam Mayor, I believe that this applicant is one of the few farmers that reside in our municipality and truly lives off the land. The land has been in the family close to 70 years. The farmer's wish, like many parents, is to pass it on to their children, who are presently assisting them on an 800-acre property. Their land is located in the Green Wedge, again an area which probably would never develop into residential. However, right next to their small weatherboard home, there is a proposed 8-lane freeway, a concrete recycling centre and airport overlays, just to start with. As I said before, Madam Mayor, we analyse every applicant as we base it on its merits. Mm-hmm. These are constituents who live off the land in an area of minimal rainfall. They work hard to endless farm tasks. They are not getting any younger. And for the landowners to continue as farmers in our municipality, we need to be flexible with the guidelines. Councillors, please read page 505, number 6, options. It is up to us to support this farmer or to refuse the application. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Cugliari, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does anyone oppose the motion? Does anyone abstain from the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's been carried. Please correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm going to defer to Councillor Majlicki. With your notice of motion a couple of meetings ago, was I supposed to be calling a division on alternates?
As I recall, Madam Mayor, you are. However, I wasn't going to stand up and correct you on that, Madam Mayor.
It just dawned on me. So could I have a division called on this one, please? All those in favour of the motion, Councillor Majlicki, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Carley, Councillor Matuszewski, Councillor Turner and Councillor Ramsey. It's been carried unanimously. Thank you for that, Councillor Majlicki. And I apologise for the earlier one. Okay, we now go to 1110. 1110 is the Junior Council Program. What a fantastic program it is, and it's going to be presented by Mr. Murray Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Council, a very quick overview about the Junior Council Program. Some time ago, Council endorsed this initiative through a notice of motion at the time to establish a Junior Council as a trial and to establish that trial period for some 18 months. The program has been successful over what is more than 18 months now. It's finished up just prior to last Christmas. And many young people have gone through that Junior Youth Council initiative and having the opportunity to present to Council on a number of occasions. The Youth Council has been established, as I said, for some time. The nominated range for the students is from years 7 to 10, with no more than two delegates from each secondary school being eligible, and of course the split being equitable through male and female. The Youth Council initiative was discussed during our youth strategy development, and the youth strategy was titled for the years 2014-2017, and Council endorsed that at the ordinary meeting of Council on the 21st of October 2014. Most importantly, our young people were engaged throughout the youth strategy planning and process to determine the need for a future youth programs, but also the services to support those programs. It was also an opportunity for young people to speak out about the benefits that are provided from services from this council and other services within the municipality. The Junior Council initiative was discussed, and as part of that discussion was obviously, the main action in that youth strategy, which Council has endorsed, is to combine and enhance the functions of a youth advisory group and a youth council through Youth Governance and Leadership Program, which is obviously part of this initiative. Council is successful in this, has been successful in this program, and also successful in other programs, sort of sister to this, as such of the Witten Project, so a project that's run by the Western Bulldogs and other councils, and where Melton supports that as well. So it's, we thought it was timely, councillors, that we bring this back, as it was. It was an 18-month trial. We're bringing this back to you so that it aligns with the youth strategy work and the engagement we had with young people some time ago, which formed part of another report, as I talked about earlier on in the agenda. We have aligned it. As I said, the recommendation put forward to you is that we continue, and we endorse the continuation of the Junior Council Program, and align it with the youth strategy work. Of course, it's at the end of 2017. So I seek your support on that, councillors. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. The recommendation before us, has any councillor got any clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommendation. May I speak on it if it's seconded?
Certainly, Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to second this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Majlik.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I just wanted to say what a fantastic outcome this has been. I thank the council officers for their recommendation and their support. I was actually the councillor who initiated this program, and the reason was because I always believe that we have a responsibility to encourage our younger residents to be more involved in decision-making and leadership roles within our community. It's great to see that they are learning what the democratic system is all about. Although I do claim that it was my initiative, however, a councillor with an initiative is just an idea, but an initiative with the support of other councillors makes the idea a reality, and for that I thank my fellow councillors and officers for their support on the project. Madam Mayor, I just hope that once rate capping is introduced, this isn't one of the services that gets removed, as it would be a real big shame for our young residents to miss out on a learning opportunity such as this, and as they're learning great leadership skills for our community. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik, and well done on this wonderful initiative. Okay, the next item. Oh, I was getting a little bit ahead of myself. That's why I've got these two wonderful gentlemen on either side of me. The motion is being moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Turner. If no councillor seeks clarification, have I done that? Does anyone oppose the motion? Does anyone abstain from the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Okay. Now, presentation of Staff Report 1111, Family Daycare Funding Reforms. Mr Heaney to report.
Madam Mayor, thank you again. Councillors, this report to provide you an overview of where we're at with our family daycare program, if you like, and some initiatives that's taken place, although it be some sad ones, and advice we've received from the federal government in the past. Council previously received a report on our family daycare service back in May 2013, and really resolved on four actions in that report, which is noted on page 519, which I'm sad to say that we have achieved what, in most cases, what is noted in that page 519. And the thing that we were to come back to council was a report in 12 months' time revealing the current structure, provider numbers, etc., etc., which meant that we had to come back to council around about mid to three-quarters of the way through last year. But sadly, we were due to come back to council, and we're all geared up to do that, councillors, but we received a letter from the federal government to say that we will be receiving $180,000 hit in our family daycare funding support that we've been receiving for many years to assist us to deliver this service. So, sadly, as I said, that's why the report didn't come to council at the time, because it really put us into a bit of a spin of when we come back to council and how we're going to achieve the loss of $1,000. So in short, and for the sake of the councillors, but more the gallery, our family daycare service is really in the majority an in-home care service from children between birth and 12 years of age. Currently, council has, to date, 43 educators, as they're titled, providing care for those children out there in our city, in the home or sometimes out the home and sometimes being transported to and from school. The staff within the council services equates to 6 people, to keep it simple, and around about 5.28 EFT. That's providing service at the moment and at the drafting of this report, because this goes up and down weekly, depending on the number of care providers and children in care. Basically, it's a total of 509 children receive this service. They may receive 2 hours of care, but they can receive up to 30 or 40 hours of care, so it fluctuates. But it equates to assisting families in the number of 344 at the minute. So it has come at a shock with us to lose this funding. The report also talks about some options, gives an example of what our educators provide out there to the community. As I said, it's 43 educators spread right across the city. And to give you a breakup of that, it's 19 educators in our eastern sector at the minute, and it's 24 in the township that are providing services to those families. We are recruiting all the time. We're trying to recruit all the time. As I said, to date, we have 43 active, and one of the council resolutions at the time was to cap the family daycare provision, educators, to 53. And during the last 18 months, we accelerated to 47, and we keep dropping down to around about the 44 or 43 dependent. The other thing with family daycare, it is a big provider of jobs for members of our community, and 99% of cases females, so it is a big income for those families because it is a business. So our job as councillor is to monitor 43 educators, not provide the care, and that's monitoring those educators for the regulations that the state government set, monitor those educations for payments, fees, and obviously on-site audits in their homes to ensure that they're providing the best and effective care to those children within their homes and out their homes, sometimes in their vehicles. The options in this report, council provides us being open and transparent and going out and talking to those at the minute, 43 educators, about a proposal, and obviously talking to those families about a proposal to increase the fees to recoup, if you like, back the $180,000 that we will lose. Now, saying that, even though we recoup that $180,000 back, it will still be around about $120,000 cost of this council to provide the service. But we think an effective model is to talk to the families about getting that 70 cents back an hour. If I can just work you through the 70 cents, even though the increase of fee may go up to 70 cents pending the consultation, there is a childcare rebate that's effective from that. So in most cases, depending on levels of salaries, income, etc., if it was to go up 70 cents, probably the most effective would be 50% of that, depending on salaries and income levels. So really the report is putting two recommendations to you, councillors, is one to note, sadly, the cease of the funding support. So we're funded to the end of June this financial year, but we're not funded post the end of June. We're not the only service. Everyone is affected on this federal government funding cuts in family daycare, so it's not just Melton. It's the private sector, etc. There will be some funding available, but I believe it probably most likely in the rural areas. So really the second recommendation is to commence that consultation process and be open with our educators and our families on that proposed model to, I suppose, recover the $180,000 that will be a shortfall come the 1st of June next year for the next financial year. And that basically is around about the 70 cents an hour, which is what we're funded for. We're funded from the federal government of 70 cents an hour per hour of care, which equates around about $180,000. So I put forward to you the two recommendations on the page 519, councillors, for your consideration this evening. And that's about all I've got to say, Madam Mayor. It's some good news, but there's some bad news with it. So I appreciate your patience and time.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
I think I'll reserve my comment for a later debate. Is there a mover for the recommendation?
May I have a question?
Clarification. Have you got a clarification, Councillor?
Yep. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I know it's very unfortunate that the federal government have taken away that $180,000. Have they given any indication as to why they have taken or they've reduced that funding through you, Madam Mayor?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Magic, my understanding is what happened many years ago was that the federal government at the time lifted the cap on family daycare provision. So it was a very restricted group that could deliver family daycare, which council was one. I mean, council's been delivering this back to 1975. So they opened up the doors or the gates, if you like, and said that anyone can establish a business, provided they do the training and get the regulated services they need to require and pass all the tests from the state government, etc. My understanding is the costs with the funding associated to this has just blown the federal government out of the water. And you'll hear some of that reforms at the moment about childcare, et cetera, et cetera. So I think with the financial issues that the federal government has at the moment, and that everyone has, but the federal government has at the moment, this is another way of cutting that burden, as they say, and trying to relieve that federal budget. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Thank you, Councillor Matchlick. Any other clarification sought? Councillor Turner.
Thank you. Mr. Heaney, you said 70 cents. I didn't pick up quite right whether it was 50% of the participants wouldn't pay the 70 cents, or was it across the board roughly 50% of the fee would be saved?
I'll clarify that, Councillor Turner, as best as I can. So what we're proposing to the families that council, we would increase the fees of 70 cents per hour of care. So, for example, if someone receives 5 hours of care a week, it would be the $3.50 that we would charge, but they would claim back off the federal government a childcare rebate. So they would probably get most likely 50% of that back via the federal government. So, yes, our fees would go up 70 cents, but those families that are eligible, in most cases, probably most, would claim back from the federal government half of that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Any other further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'll second the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. We have a mover and a seconder for the motion, that being Councillor Majdlik and Councillor Turner. Does anybody oppose the motion? Does anyone abstain from the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Need to get to it first. Come back. Okay, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. Please refresh my memory. Who started last time? Okay, Councillor Majdlik, if you're ready, could you please come in?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the Western Base board meeting with yourself, and it's great to see that everything's coming together. The board is working well, and we are well into implementing all the policies and procedures in place. The official opening is set for mid-April this year, hopefully, which will be very exciting indeed. We have received some great interest from potential tenants expressing interest to locate their businesses at the Western Base, which is great encouragement. The facility looks fantastic, Madam Mayor, as you know, and Mark Corey from Council is doing a tremendous job, as are the rest of the directors who, may I remind this Council, are giving up of their free time and also their valuable knowledge and experience as a board member to ensure that the Western Base is a viable and productive business incubator. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majdlik. Councillor Cogliari?
nil from me, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn.
And first time ever, nil for me too, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. It was the festive season, Councillor Carley.
Nil, Madam Mayor, and I was just going to say, I think we're pretty much all going to be nil because a lot of the committees haven't met yet.
So. Yeah. Okay, Councillor Nadaluski.
Nil from me.
Councillor Turner.
I had one committee, but it was cancelled.
Appropriately timed. I had four. They were the Road Safe Westgate. I have to stand, don't I? Sorry. The Melbourne Tourism Committee, the Community Achievement Awards Panel, which I suppose goes in the next category in the Western Base. And if anybody wants anything to do, require any information in that regard, I will come back at the next council meeting with the vital roads safety statistics, just so everybody knows. So the Western Melbourne Tourism is travelling really soundly, and they're going to make a presentation, hopefully, to the CEO's delegation very soon.
On Friday next week,
I'm told. So that's it for me. Councillors, representation and acknowledgements. Okay, the record of assembly of councillors in accordance with section 80A(1) of the Local Government Act 1989. It was dated the 27th of January 2015. Could I have a mover for?
Sure, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move the recommendation that the record of assembly of councillors attached to this agenda dated 27th of January 2015 be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Is there a seconder for this?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. We have a mover being Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does anybody object? Does anyone abstain? All those in favour? The motion's carried. Thank you. Now, the public address by each councillor. I will commence with Councillor Majlik again.
Sure, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to say what a wonderful event Australia Day was, to see so many cultures and nationalities come together to celebrate those becoming Australian citizens were great. The weather held out, which was always a bonus in Melbourne, and thanks to the events team for organising yet another successful Australia Day celebration event. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Councillor Cugliari?
It's nil from me, Madam Mayor.
And I must admit, Councillor Cugliari did have a very sick family over the Christmas break, so thank you for the recovery time. Apologise. Councillor Dunn?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also, I forgot about the Community Achievement Committee, so I'll put that one in there. Mm-hmm. On the 23rd of January, I attended a training for energy efficiency, which is linked in with our great program, The Leads, which actually supplies free education sessions. And if you're interested, I'd recommend that you check the council website. It's an initiative that's been funded by the federal government, and it's helped us to allow to reduce energy and costs. Part of the leads was changing our street lighting, which has allowed us to save up to 60% in energy costs and in energy. Upgrading 9 council facilities to decrease also our energy usage. And it also talks about alternative energy, bringing your power bill and you try to work out how you can decrease it, which is quite very interesting exercise, actually. And then it was followed up by our first Energy and Sustainability Expo, which was held Saturday the 31st, and that was a very interesting day, a lot of great speakers, a lot of great initiatives out there about alternative energy. We also had sustainability ideas and representatives from the local community on stands, with sustainability gardens and plants and so forth. And then on the 26th of January, of course, I attended the Australia Day celebrations, which is always a wonderful day, and it was especially so again this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I also attended the Australia Day celebrations. I know my fellow councillors have already spoken about that, but I'd just like to again welcome the 180 new Australian citizens that call our wonderful country and our wonderful community home. And I'd also again like just to congratulate all the award recipients of the day. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mataluski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to take this opportunity just to apologise to my lateness tonight, but unfortunately, tragically, the train from Seven Cross tonight was involved in a collision with an individual, and my hopes and prayers go out to the individual that was involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mataluski, and we hope that he or she is recovering well. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, on the 16th of January, I attended the Melton Runabout Speedboat Club. They were hosting a Support the Kids with Cancer Day, and you were there yourself, although we didn't meet at any time during the day. We were there at different times. There was 15 kids on the reservoir, aged between 12 and 15, and there were 6 adults involved, and it was a very successful day. On the 26th, obviously, Australia Day, it was great to see 2 Vietnam vets being getting awards on the day, our ambassador, John Hodges, for the day. It was good to see John being recognised. And also Gil, a returned veteran himself, passionate community and volunteer, and a big, big tick for him for his work with the Melton Men's Shed. He's been involved in that for the last 5 years. I'll leave yourself to speak with the rest of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I need to stand up? Yes. By the end. Okay. There were a number of opportunities to meet with residents and to join in their festivities leading up to Christmas, and I took the opportunity and the time to join in as many as I could. I went and visited the PAG group, and boy, are they a fun bunch. There was no alcohol in their drinks, so I'm told, but they had a ball, and it was lovely to see these wonderful group of ladies joining all, let's not even go with their ages, but they were full of life, and what council does for them is exceptionally special. It was a wonderful Christmas lunch, and the activities were full of fun. I attended the Diggers Rest Christmas carols, the Little Athletics presentation. I've met with families, received a myriad of phone calls, met with the delegation at the Melton Hockey Club, the Melton South Tennis Club, invited me along to the Australian Open ballot draw, which was wonderful to see. I went to the Melbourne Runabout and Speedboat Club. It was a challenge for kids with cancer, and former Mayor Councillor Turner was on the boat with those kids at the time, and I couldn't get a chance to see him. I attended the Carlton Mid-Series one-day international cricket game, and that's 12 hours of my life I will never get back. it was a wonderful thing to, for the city of Melton. Sorry. I attended the Victoria Cup. 50 overs for each team is terribly long, Mr. CEO. The Victoria Cup last Saturday night at Tabcorp Park. I've had meetings with Work for the Dole, and last night was the Zonta meeting. And can I say, I have had 2, 3, 4 photo opportunities and meetings to go down to our wonderful botanical gardens. And the great work that they're doing, and also the great work they did at the seminar on Saturday, which I sadly missed because I was away. So congratulations to them and Mr. John Bentley especially. I now want to finish on one of the best days of my life. The Australia Day Awards was something second to none for me. And it was delivered by not only the 180 community members, but the countless community residents here that were either nominated or won awards. John Hodges was second to none. He's someone I admire wholeheartedly. And Mr. Bean, that was a stroke of genius when you came up with him as the ambassador for Melton. The Community Project of the Year was Busy Feet Melton. The Busy Feet program delivers was delivered by the Rotary Club of Melton in close partnership with the Melton Specialist School, the Club at Caroline Springs, InStyle Dance Company and other partners. Busy Feet provides a special place for children of all physical and intellectual abilities to build friendships, dance, fun with carers and parents, and connect over coffee. Busy Feet is run by an enthusiastic team of volunteers who estimate up to 550 hours each year to this project. The young person of the year was Madison Wood. Now, we've had the pleasure of meeting Madison. Only 14, one of 50 out of 400 to be chosen to become a young leader through the Western Bulldogs Witten Project last year. She has been instrumental in the formation of the first Caroline Springs Lakers Girls youth rugby team. Madison is valued and respected by her peers, champion lunchtime sporting competitions at her school. The Woman of the Year was Kelly McLaren. Now, Kelly's commitment to improving the health and well-being of young people through the sport has been a defining feature of her 10-year involvement with the Melton Hockey Club. Now the club's CEO, Kelly's achievements have earned herself and the Melton Hockey Club esteemed awards through Hockey Victoria. Kelly is an outstanding role model to young people, especially her three proud children. Now, it was her son that actually wrote the submission for his mum, and it was very, very touching about the hours spent away from home and her trying to not only include but mentor other young children and keep them away from things that we should steer away from. The winner of the Citizen of the Year, as Councillor Turner said, was Mr. Gil Ellis. Mr. Gil Ellis, a returned Vietnam veteran with an infectious smile and a pleasing personality. He's a passionate community volunteer and has been a friendly face to people of all backgrounds and abilities at the Men's Shed for over the past 5 years. He has been crucial in the success of the Men's Shed primary school engagement program and is keen supporting a budding partnership with the local Aboriginal men's group. Now, something that wasn't overlooked on the day, but all it takes a lot of... There are four winners, but there are a lot of people nominated and they're all worthy recipients of these four prizes or four awards. They can't all be there, but can I say these people were recognised on the day: Angus Jessel, Carol Doyle, Daniel Roberts, Danielle Williams, Venice Angleton, Heart Foundation volunteers, Heather Gillard, Jan Thorley, Jade Malila, Jenny Howe-Clark, Julie Harding, Marla Aboriginal Women's Group, Mel Marsh Prostate Cat Support Group, Patrick Jansen Edwards, Paul Magny, and the Zonta Club of Melton. There was also two Merrill commendations, one to Ted Caruana of Exclusive Homes and also from Bunnings Melton for their incredible community work and the opportunities they espouse to groups to achieve their end goal. I personally want to give the MC, Mr. Peter Bean, a huge thank you from me for providing what seemed to be a seamless day and allowed me to catch the plane to Queensland. Thank you very, very much, Peter. The extra touches that were presented on the day were sensational. And to the events team as a whole, led by Christine Sita, could you please pass on my sincerest thank yous. And to all the councillors that attended, thank you very much from myself. Okay. Now we'll move on to the active part of the meeting, the notices of motion more generally. Notice of motion 14.1, Councillor Turner.
Mayor, I'd like to move notice of motion 398, that Council write to the Minister for Local Government, the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, requesting a review of the Valuation Act of 1960 and the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to the application of the rating of properties based on the current valuation methods, as Council believe the legislation does little to reflect the complexities of interface councils, in particular land with classifications, UGZ.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Dunn. Does any councillor cry for clarification? No? Does any councillor oppose the motion? Does any councillor abstain from the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion is carried. Thank you. Okay. Item 14.2. Notice motion, Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I move that following the Mayor's public announcement that this Council would lose services due to rate cap ink, can the CEO please advise by the next ordinary Council meeting what services will be cut? Could he also inform this Council of services cut that occurred under a previous Melton Council when the rates were capped?
Okay, thank you, Councillor Carley. Is there a seconder for this motion?
I'll second this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Madaluski.
Madam Mayor, I've got a clarification.
Clarification. We'll have clarification now. Has any councillor got required further clarification?
Could I ask the author of the notice of motion to what public announcement? Sorry, what was the specific wording? What public announcement she is referring to?
Thanks, Councillor Malik, for your question. I'm referring to an article in the Melton Leader, Melton Council, Anger Over Labor Plan to Cap Council Rates at Inflation, by Toby Prime on December the 18th, 2014.
Thank you, Madam.
Thank you. Okay, does any other council seek further clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I would like to ask if the mover or seconder would be happy to delete the first. It was seconded, wasn't it, Madam Mayor?
Yes, it was.
I'd like to ask the mover and the seconder if they would be happy to delete the first sentence in this notice of motion, and I'll explain the reasons why I'm requesting this. The first part to be removed is the following statement, that following the Mayor's public announcement that this Council would lose services due to rate capping. I believe that this is just mean-spirited and, quite frankly, misleading and not true. And the second part of the sentence to be deleted being, can the CEO please advise by the next ordinary Council meeting what services will be cut? This, quite frankly, in my opinion, is speculation, as the CEO would be predetermining a decision that the Council hasn't even made yet. Therefore, I am asking that the notice of motion be read as follows. Can the CEO please inform the Council by the next ordinary Council meeting of the service cuts that occurred under a previous Melton Council when the rates were capped? Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Can I refer this to the mover of the motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm more than happy to answer that. When we speak about the article, when you're saying a public announcement, why would you want me to remove that it's a public announcement? It was in the public or was in the newspaper?
Sorry, Madam Mayor, is this clarification or is this a yes or no?
Well, I'm clarifying why you'd like me to remove.
Are you prepared to?
No, I'm not going to remove
then it. Then please retain this seat. Thank you. We have a mover being Councillor Lara Carley. We have a seconder being Councillor Madaluski. If there's no further clarification, all those opposed. Does anyone oppose the motion? I think that was the words that were going to come straight out of my mouth. Councillor Majlik. We go into debate. The mover? Councillor Carley, please.
Madam Mayor, I reserve my right to speak until I hear why my fellow councillors have disagree, I guess, with my notice of motion.
All right, thank you. Councillor Matchlick, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I was quite clear in why I was against the notice of motion. The first part being that following the Mayor's public announcement that this Council will lose services due to rate capping, like I said, this is just mean-spirited and, quite frankly, misleading and untrue. I have a copy here, Madam Mayor. I've actually got several. If you're wanting me to distribute them, I'm more than happy to. It starts off by saying a cap on rates would have a significant impact on Melton Council's ability to keep up with demand for services, according to Mayor Sophie Ramsay. Now, that's not a quote, Madam Mayor. That's basically the gist of our Toby Prime, who is the journalist. And as we know, that whatever the journalist wants to write, they'll write. There's actually two quotes, Madam Mayor, that you have read, that you've been quoted on. And it's in, under officers' comments, the two being, the City of Melton is a growth area with significant infrastructure and service delivery demands. And the second quote, Madam Mayor, and I'm reading this in quotation marks, it is unclear how a CPI rate cap would affect Council's budget at this stage, but it would have a significant impact. Madam Mayor, I find that this notice of motion is in the spirit of meanness, and I frankly don't agree that it's true. I don't know where Councillor Carley reads that you've said that. It's obvious that the journalist has taken that point of view, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you said that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Matuszewski.
I declined to comment on this.
Okay. Mr. Goodman, please. Councillor Turner.
I'd just like to ask Councillor Carley if it's the same reading. Well, I agree with Councillor Medlick. It doesn't say what's in your motion, so I can't support it. I'm sorry.
Does any other councillor wish to speak? Oh, I do. When it comes to being commented on, a public announcement wasn't a public announcement. I was asked to make a comment, and I did so, and those statements were that the City of Melton is a growth area with significant infrastructure and service delivery demands. Do you dispute that, Councillor Carley? It is unclear how the CPI rate cap would affect Council's budget. Do you dispute that? It's in front of you. It is unclear how a CPI rate cap would affect Council's budget at this stage. Do you dispute that? Okay, but it would have a significant impact. Are they the words you dispute?
Are you asking me a question?
I'm asking you a question.
That's exactly what I'm disputing. To me, it's like a contradiction. You're basically saying what it is unclear.
No. So we've yes. got the fact that it's that it would have a significant impact. They're the words you dispute. Thank you. Please return to your seat now. Thank you. Okay. I believe when you were the mayor in the City of Little Sea, there was a rate increase of 4%, well over CPI. Your term of 8 months there was 4%, I believe, if that's accurate, if I've done my homework correctly. The VLGA have spoken about rate capping, and they've come out publicly and said, please, forgive me whilst I've got this on, and I will go much past my minutes allowed, but I'm taking private liberties here. Rate capping is key amongst these issues of growing concern for local government sector. I discussed with Minister Hutchins the need to look at more broadly securing the financial futures of the local government and consideration how rate restrictions would impact on increasing demands on council and the perennial issue of cost shifting. And I think previous reports tonight can show the pressures that we're under. The VLG remains with the view that it is unacceptable to cap local government rates while expecting councils to pick up a range of services that they have not been adequately recompensed for. Consideration must also be given to circumstances of individual local governments, particularly experiencing rapid growth and change. Your own former Council of Whittlesea are asking for a Minister for Growth Councils because they are feeling the pressures now. The MAV also have started up a financial and rate capping task force. They are their response to the ALP rate capping was working with councils, the MAV, other peak bodies, relevant unions and the Essential Services Commission to get it right, and that was the local government. Factors the Essential Services Commission are going to have to look into are deciding whether rate rises above CPI, federal government cuts to core local government grants, cost shifting by the local government, such as the imposition of additional taxes and levies or increased statutory responsibilities, extraordinary circumstances such as natural disasters, other sources of income available to a council, and their overall financial position and their need to maintain essential community services and infrastructure. At the end of the day, CPI is related to a basket of goods. The local government must purchase is far more aligned to the construction costs, capital works and infrastructure spending. The staff EBAs, if we don't take the real costs into account, we will be going backwards. CPI is not relevant in the context of your non-discretionary expenditure. In business, if you don't cover your expenses, local government has the same pressures along with increasing expectations from ratepayers. Choosing to cap your income, then you would need to decide what services you do not have to deliver. A lot of different statements have been made, and even with a letter from the current minister, she's also said public support for our elected commitment is a clear message that they expect councils to provide these services while keeping the rates at an affordable level. She didn't say she meant capping. Did she mean capping at an affordable level? There's an asterisk there that says growth corridors are going to find some pressure and we need to work with the essential services. There's a letter here from a fellow mayor that I will read if this goes further into debate. But, yes, Blind Freddy could see that capping our rates would have a significant impact as to what, as to where, as to how, what services would be cut, we don't know as yet. Now, having said that, right out of sync, and no one picked me up on meaning local law. Thank you. We have a mover. Any other person wanting to speak? Sorry. No one. We have a mover being Councillor Lara Carley, seconded by Councillor Mataluski. Councillor Carley, you have the right of reply.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, it was interesting that you actually spoke about the city of Whittlesea when you referred to where I was a councillor and where I was a mayor. That was more than, going back now, I think 11 years ago, probably 12 years ago, I think it was, when I was elected on Whittlesea Council. And I don't see what relevance that had. However, when I speak about a public announcement, I do consider a newspaper article a public announcement. Some of my fellow councillors might not share that. The opening statement of that article reads, a cap on rates would have a significant impact on Mountain Council's ability to keep up with the demand for services, according to Mayor Councillor Sophie Ramsey. So when I read that, I interpret that as you're basically saying, well, there's going to have a significant impact on council services, so something will be cut. And since I've been elected on this council, when notice of motions have come forward, I know Councillor Borg put a motion of form when we were first elected to cap rates, and the majority of councillors voted against that. And I heard the argument, so, well, if we cap rates, services are going to be cut. What services are going to be, which services are, you know, how do we determine which services will go through? Time and time again, I've heard the same argument when we speak about capping rates. I've got here, Mountain Council votes against a rates cap policy, an article in the Star Weekly on the 2nd of the 9th, 2004, and this always gets me, this one. Councillor Cathy Malick agreed, claiming capping rates would take away the fabric of democracy. Fair enough. Then we have Councillor Malick, if we had to cap rates, in the Star Weekly, her war talk on July 22nd, 2014, if we had to cap rates, it would be highly likely the council would be forced to stop some of these important services that our residents depend on. Then Another article, councillors at loggerheads over voting issues. In the Star Weekly on the 1st of the 7th, 2014, was when I moved a motion tabling that I would like to write a letter to the then opposition leader, Daniel Andrews, stating that this council supports his plan on capping rates. And I've always said I'm a firm believer and I will always support capping rates and giving our residents a fair go. Again, that was lost. Councillors, Mayor Bob Turner at the time, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Ramsey and Councillor Malik all voted against the motion. So when we speak about, oh, well, you know, I didn't say that, I ask, well, what did you mean by that first statement?
Exactly what it reads, not what it was interpreted about. But having said that, again, I will reiterate. The City of Melton is a growth area with significant infrastructure and service delivery demands. It is unclear how a CPI rate cap would affect council budget at this stage, but it would have significant impact.
To me, Madam Mayor, and I've heard you read it a few times now, it's basically, to me, my personal opinion is that you're contradicting yourself. It is unclear how CPI rate cap would affect council's budget at this stage, but it would have a significant impact. And then Councillor Malik speaks about speculation. Well, isn't that speculating? Aren't you misleading the community by that statement? This is what's disappointing to me, Madam Mayor, and like I said, it's an argument that we've heard over and over again, how bad capping rates is. Well, the Labor Party got in. They went to the election with capping rates. They had a great win. So obviously, residents have had enough of high rate increases. And like I've said, I've always fully supported capping of rates. And I ask you, Madam Mayor, in the 3 years that are listed here on the officer's comments, or through the 3 years, where I believe you were Mayor during that time, one of those years, did you support the capping of rates in the years that it states in this report?
You're wanting me to answer?
Yes, please.
Have you finished your statement now?
No, I haven't, actually.
Well, you probably have less than a minute to go there. I've given you a lot longer, so please continue and then I will reply.
Okay. Well, Madam Mayor, I think I've made my point pretty clear. I'm a full supporter of capping rates, giving Melton residents a fair go. I believe it's the right thing to do. And it's sad that my fellow councillors didn't show compassion when we had the chance to move those motions that were put forward, whereas now we're forced to do so by the state government. Madam Mayor, there's nothing more further I can add to say that it's a wonderful thing. I look forward to it, and I believe that if we're responsible and we look at the budget and we prioritise and we go more on what our residents need, our community needs, not councillors' wants, it will not be a problem.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. And just to reply as I can, as the Mayor, I want to make two statements. Am I being hypocritical? No, I'm not. Am I going against what I believe? No, I'm not. We have to wait and work with the Essential Services Committee, find out what grants are coming our way, and everything is still unclear. But yes, maybe you're hypocritical because it was okay for you not to cap rates in Middlesea. That's proof in itself. So, Councillor Carley, thank you very much for your statements. It's very easy to support a political stance, especially when the CPI is a goods and services tax for bread and milk, nothing more. Having said that, we will now take... We'll see a show of hands. We have a mover being Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Matuszewski. All those that oppose the motion.
Oppose?
No, oppose, I said.
Oppose.
Oppose the motion?
No.
Why? In favour?
That's the motion.
Yeah. That's all those that oppose, all those that abstain, all those for. Okay. Oh, that's what I've been doing all night, so I'll be consistent. All those that oppose the motion that's before us. All those that abstain. All those that agree with the notice of motion. The motion's been lost.
Could I... Madam Mayor, I'll call for a division, thanks.
It's in our bylaws now.
All those for the notice of motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor Matalewski. All those that abstain? Abstain? No. All those against the notice of motion? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Majlik, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Turner. Thank you. The motion's been declared lost. Okay, we'll move on to 14.3.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to remove myself at this time from the chamber and note that in the minutes of the meeting due to my direct interest in this matter.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik.
And the same for myself, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Carlin.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I move the motion that the CEO immediately undertake to recover any amounts of monies paid in a form of childcare reimbursements by this council using ratepayers' money between 2008 to 2014, where is indicated in item 11.7 as a breach of procedure occurring, that it report back to this council on a monthly basis at council's ordinary meeting to advise how much has been recovered, and furthermore that this money recovered be added to the operating budget of disability services.
Is there a seconder for the motion?
I will second this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Matalewski. Okay. Does any councillor seek further clarification?
I do, thank you.
On your own motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, just in the officer's comments, I'd just like to seek some clarifications.
That's fine.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, the CEO wrote the comments.
Yes, when we, yep. Sorry. Yeah.
When it's got written here, should seek legal advice on whether the administrative oversight of non-collection and, well, I guess you get the gist, the legal advice. Mm-hmm. I'm just concerned that when we, I guess, start putting things in a legal category, that it becomes confidential. And I just wanted on the record that I would hate for any part of this notice of motion, I'm concerned that it would go into confidential. I just feel that whatever the answer may be, after we if it does get passed and we do seek legal advice, I'd like for all residents, and I believe that all residents have the right to know how their ratepayers' money has been spent and who it was reimbursing. So I just wanted that on the public record, I guess.
If I might just respond, the reason that my suggestion is that there should be legal advice sought is that if council's going to seek to recover monies on the basis that the monies were paid inappropriately, incorrectly, fraudulently, or by whatever other non-entitlement category one wishes to ascribe to it, it would be prudent to do so on a sound legal basis rather than take the action and then have to defend the action subsequently if it was proven or shown to be inappropriate. So I think it's my job to protect the council's interests as much as possible. So my suggestion is that prior to taking any such action, legal advice should be obtained. The second element is that, yes, in the first instance, legal advice is always presented as in confidence because it is the council's legal advice, and the council is a statutory body and is receiving the advice, not the individual councillors. It is the council's advice. And it is the council's discretion whether it makes that advice public or not. So whilst it would be reported to council in camera, it would be at council's discretion to resolve to release that advice. I guess that's where my position on this is.
Does any other councillor seek further clarification? I do. Where it says here 11.7 as a breach of procedure occurring, was it indicated that 11.7 a breach of procedure occurred? And then there's follow-up questions.
Are you looking for my response, Madam Mayor? Okay. To Precy, what was a quite considerable report to the previous council meeting, which is what's referred to, which gave considerable amount of detail in respect of each of these childcare reimbursement claims. There was some non-compliance with the procedure as detailed in council's resource support for councillors policy. Essentially, that amounted to the non-inclusion with the claim of a form called a statement by supplier form that doesn't relate back to 2008. The requirement came in, I think, in 2010, so it relates to the period post-2010. The report to last month's meeting itemised that that requirement is a requirement on the provider of the service to supply that form to the person purchasing the service. So technically there was no breach by the council of the Tax Act in not obtaining a copy of that document, but there was a requirement in the procedure laid out in the policy that council would require a copy of that document. To what purpose, I'm not sure, but anyway, it was a part of the policy. Secondly, that where the supplier was a registered for tax purposes, where they had an ABN number, that there was a tax invoice required to be provided, which displayed the ABN number of the supplier of the service. That in a number of cases that had not been supplied, it was the receipt for the payment that had been provided that detailed a certain number of hours of childcare at a certain dollar figure and was signed by the provider of the service. So again, I guess from an officer's point of view, and this is, I've signed off on these, so, you know, I'm pleading a guilt here. I've signed off on reimbursement of these, and strictly in accordance with council's policy, I should have sought to have those additional documents provided. Me and my predecessor should have both done that, but didn't. And the rationale was that the claim for reimbursement was required to be checked by the relevant officer of council to match it to the diary of the councillor making the claim to evidence that the claim for childcare matched to a appointment or a council obligation that the councillor had attended to. And secondly, that there was a receipt that evidenced the payment of the monies, which was within the cap that existed within the policy, and therefore the amount of reimbursement was in accordance with council's intent. So that was, to my mind, satisfactory evidence that the expenditure had been incurred and that it fell within the definition of childcare, as was an, so therefore was an eligible expense of the office of councillor as prescribed under the Act, and I signed off on them. So, but technically there is a breach relevant to the procedure laid out in the council policy. Long-winded explanation, I'm sorry.
Does the procedure in the policy reflect what we should be doing today, or does that now need to be amended?
Well, that's a value judgment, and it's council's policy. It's not my policy. It's council's policy. So it's for council to determine whether it remains an appropriate policy. But I look,
the policy's fine, I think. It's now been drawn to everyone's attention, and I think that's retrospectively, much of that documentation has now been obtained because the councillor retained the tax invoices and so is in the process of supplying them. But, you know, as far as statements by suppliers, we're not in a position to recover those from all the suppliers.
So, in accordance with the local government ministers and practice notes for childcare and what should be provided by council to allow councillors to be effective in the workplace, childcare was paid for services done while that said councillor was at a council briefing or function or meeting. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. The only breach that has occurred is either accepting a receipt for that without an ABN or the statement of supplier, which now doesn't need to be provided by the councillor but needs to go by the person receiving the reimbursement amount to the tax aid, to the tax office. Is that correct?
It doesn't have to actually be supplied to the tax office. It has to be supplied to the person making the payment as it's a requirement. But, you know, essentially the premise is correct, yeah.
Do you believe that using the word breach, I might take the liberty and assume I've read it and I've heard Councillor Carley say these words before. Do you feel there has been any fraudulent defrauding or misrepresentation or misappropriation of funds in any of these transactions? That's my liberal interpretation of breach. I've never said you said those words, so please sit down, Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, because I was going to call a point of order because I've never said the word
fraudulent. Councillor Carley, please sit down. My interpretation of breach...
Well, you said you'd heard me say those words before.
No, of procedure. I've heard you use the word breach, just like in the previous one. Please sit down. When it comes to breach, I'm asking, has there been fraud, misappropriation? Has it not been able to be cross-referenced with councillors' diaries? Do you feel anyone has misused this... this part in our expense policy?
In response to your question, Madam Mayor, no, that's not my belief is that there has been no reimbursement made to a councillor that is not in accordance with the intent of the policy and the intent of the legislation, and that there's been no... certainly been no fraudulent claims, and that the childcare that's been reimbursed has been incurred. That is my interpretation. We have, you know, I mean, the matter could, if council wished, be referred to the internal auditor to do a review on it. That's at council's discretion, if it so wished.
Right. Thank you. I've had enough discussion. Does any other councillor seek further clarification? Councillor Turner? No?
When the local government minister did review the child care expense type.
We think it's about 2010. There was a committee established to review the entitlements of councillors. I believe it was when Richard Wynne was Minister for Local Government. So that would have preceded the 2010 state election, but I'm not sure of the exact date.
Okay. No, if there are no further clarification, there's a move of the recommendation, moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Mataluski.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I have one more question that I'd like to just seek clarification from the CEO. Mr. Tory, and I hate to put you on the spot,
that's
but
right.
in your opinion, would you say that all councillors who have sought reimbursement for childcare expenses have 100% filled out all the correct paperwork that is needed for them to receive that reimbursement?
My response would be that in accordance with the council policy, there have been some items that the policy directs to be included in the claim that have not been included.
Thank you.
One more question then, Mr. Sayer. Are any of those pieces of information or paperwork vital to the essence of that policy?
Well, that again, that's a value judgment. I have my reference in the officer's comment is to what I have deemed to be an administrative oversight in the collection of the supporting documentation. So, I mean, I stand by that description of what it is.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey, and I apologise for everybody putting you on the spot. Much appreciated. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Matuszewski. All those that...
Clarification?
No, Madam Mayor, I'd like to speak on my notice of motion that's been seconded by Councillor Matuszewski.
Okay, let's... No, I know that. I haven't even got to... please, Councillor Carley, you've got a minute at this point.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, have all councillors finished?
No, we haven't gone into debate. We're still in clarification. So I haven't found out whether your motion's got up, whether it's been...
Okay, well, if that's the case, Madam Mayor, because then I'd have the close of my statement. So I'll wait, Madam Mayor.
Okay, and in accordance to what I've been doing all night, could I see a show of hands for the motion for everybody opposing the motion as written? You want to go into...
Is the motion opposed?
Yep. That's what I was saying. Okay, now we open debate. Councillor Carley.
Madam Mayor, now that my fellow councillors have opposed the motion, I'll reserve my right to hear why, and then I'll make my final statement. Thank you.
Not a problem. Councillor Turner or Councillor Dunn, who would like to go first? Councillor Turner.
Thank you. Excuse me. The purpose of the resource policy for council to enable councillors to carry their responsibilities, it was a review by the local minister back in 2010, and the idea was to enable councillors with dependent families to participate in community government. And that was the whole push of it at the time, as far as I'm aware. It was to make local government more accessible to anybody in the community that wanted to get involved in government, basically. And it's a very good policy. It's shared by everybody, obviously. The intent of the council in establishing a procedure around reimbursement of childcare expenses incurred by councillors was to ensure that council managed such expenditure responsibility, and I believe that this has occurred. We did put a policy in place. The report of the December meeting of council, item 11.7, as referred to in the notice of motion, clearly laid out that the expenditure for childcare was incurred by the councillor, and that in all cases, receipts for the provision of the childcare were provided. This is not a dispute in any way, nor has there been any question raised about whether the childcare actually occurred. The report further detailed that the claims for reimbursement submitted detailed the meetings that the councillor attended, and that the council officers checked that these details aligned with the councillor's diary. A significant amount of paperwork was provided to the December council meeting as evidence to this. Again, this is not in question. All claims for reimbursement that have been paid by council were not only paid after approval by the mayor and the chief executive of the day. Payments were therefore made in good faith, and councillors were in the belief that they had complied with the requirements of them in submitting the claims. December Council meeting officers report 11.7 noted that the statement by supplier forms are a responsibility of the supplier to provide, and it is my view that the absence of a statement by supplier is a technical breach. I agree with that. However, it's a component of the procedure for lodging a claim, and as such, council has no legitimate right to seek recovery of monies paid to councillors to reimburse them for legitimate. We're not questioning whether the actual childcare took place. It was a legitimate claim. We're questioning the technicality of the paperwork that was put in. Finally, I think this matter has gone on long enough. We've spent a lot of time here in council, and the officers have spent a lot of time behind the scenes. I think one employee actually spent probably a week to 2 weeks chasing up paperwork.
Minimum.
She spent a lot of time, I know that, and that was before Christmas. I believe it's an administration oversight. The councillor claimed in good faith. They believed they were entitled to it. Our rules say they were entitled to it. The only thing that was wrong is, and I'm not saying that's okay, but with an administration oversight, one piece of paperwork, which was the statement by supplier, was not handed in, or wasn't asked for, actually. So the councillor wasn't aware, although we all read the policies. So I just like to say that I believe that the councillor in question has done nothing wrong, claimed what they believed they were entitled to claim. Council as a whole passed it, paid the money out in agreement that every bit of paperwork they felt at the time was put in, and obviously we need to get our house in order going forward, and we should make sure that all these reports are up to date every month. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I was about to call time, but you just did it. Okay, Councillor Matuszewski.
I just wanted to say that I'm just concerned about council having policy that's not being adhered to. If it is a policy, then it should be adhered to. And if it's not, then measures should be taken to rectify any breaches in procedure.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Matuszewski. Councillor Dunn, would you like to speak?
Oh, thank you. I know that the whole childcare reimbursement's not in question. We know that here. And it was only picked up, really, that there's just a slight oversight, administration oversight, as everyone keeps calling it, a technical. And I know myself, when you're doing book work yourself, sometimes you do tend to overlook things. That's not an excuse. Our policy does state that there was a statement for supply that was required, but I do believe that councillors, in all good faith, was not brought to their attention, and I don't really feel that councillors, if they've been able to equate it with their diary entries, that it's just a slight technicality, and like I said, that's not really an excuse. And I do thank Councillor Carley for highlighting this flaw in our procedure that has now been highlighted and picked up, and I'm sure that it won't be happening again because we're all being made aware of it. But I do believe that it hasn't been done purposefully, and it's good to see that we're actually pulling things apart and reanalysing them. Thank you.
Okay. I'll rise to make it really quick. Childcare took place. Childcare was paid for. Childcare was cross-referenced with the councillor's diary. Everything seemed to... Receipts were put forward. Mayor of the day and the CEO of the day accepted a procedure, and it was probably started off incorrectly, and it just continued incorrectly, therefore being an administrative oversight. When it comes down to it, if there is a question about anything being a more serious breach, then by all means, bring it to the appropriate authorities. But like Councillor Dunn said, thank you for bringing it to our attention. The policy will either need to be updated or refined or looked at again. And I'm sure that it now, I concur wholeheartedly with both Councillor Turner and Councillor Dunn, these breaches will not be overlooked. Councillor Carley, you have the right of...
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I must say I'm actually disappointed when we just think, well, it was a breach and, you know, it was overlooked, we'll just sweep it under the carpet. That's not good enough. When this report came before the council at the last council meeting, those of you who are here and those of you who I know have listened to the audio of the last council meeting would know I was disappointed that there was no distinction on the amounts given to an agency or a private individual. I asked, did the reimbursing officer investigate whether the ABN number provided, if there was one, was it legal, was it current, did it perhaps, you know, link, you know, refer back to one of the councillors, family members or friends? I was also alarmed that the report had showed incomplete entries in the childcare expenses report during Councillor Madelick's mayoral term. What I'd like to see is accountability, transparency and proper use of ratepayers' money by this council. I accept that it may have been an administrative oversight by council staff in relation to taxation obligations, but I do not accept, nor will I ever accept, that unaccounted monies paid to councillors as reimbursements are paid without due and proper documentation. Councillors should know better. I do not accept that a councillor can make a statement that I paid so-and-so, X, Y and Z this amount of money for childcare and not provide appropriate documentation which should be filled in correctly to substantiate their proper claim for reimbursement. We are elected as community representatives with the expectation that we will do the right thing. This is an example whereby, if dealt with correctly, and if passed, will show our residents that we are responsive and responsible. I was also disappointed to hear when Councillor Turner, I think you agreed, Madam Mayor, saying that staff have spent a lot of time on this. Well, that's what they get paid for, and they get paid good money to inform us councillors so we can make a proper decision for by our residents. Nothing further to say. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
The notice of motion, well, the motion has been moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Matuszewski. The debate has now closed. I will ask for a vote. Those in favour of the motion. Those abstaining from the motion. Those opposing the motion. Please no comments, Councillor Carley, because I can come back quite easily as well. The division's been called. Those in favour of the motion. Councillor Carley, Councillor Matuszewski. Those abstaining, those against. Councillor Turner, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Ramsay. The motion's been lost.
Oh, it's part of our meeting procedure now. Okay, sorry. I called for a division. Okay.
Whilst we're waiting on Councillor Madelick and Councillor Cugliari to rejoin us, I apologise profusely to councillors. Would like to read out a note. It was sent to council and it was asked to be read at the first council meeting, and I apologise, councillors, if I can take 2 seconds of your time. It was to the mayor, councillors and the staff at the Melton City Council. Thank you for your prayers, flowers and staff. Most of all, your friendship and your support on the loss of Leo's sad journey. The journey of farewell over the last 2.5 years, it was nice to see some past councillors and staff at the funeral. We will miss Leo and share many fond memories, some not. Thank you for the big, white, heavy vase of orchids. They put a smile on my face. Merry Christmas. Warm regards, Elaine and Leo in the sky, Johnson. So it was. I read that out as Leo was a past councillor for this wonderful municipality. Okay, we move on to now councillors' questions without notice.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have a question for the officers through you. If officers could please give an update on the Westwood Drive status. Sorry, the Westwood Drive Bridge.
More specifically.
Mr. Shannon, you preempted that I was going to ask you to respond to that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors will be aware that Vic Roads were required to undertake an environmental effect statement for the Westwood Drive corridor, effectively from the Western Highway through to Calder Park Drive, the Calder Highway, and that now includes the proposed bridge that Council was proposing to construct over the Corowick Creek. My understanding was the environmental effect statement was due to go on public exhibition in early 2015. That's certainly what Vic Roads' website says. That has not occurred to date, however, I would expect that would commence soon. Once there's been a public exhibition occurred, there will be a panel convened to hear any submissions received. So I would hope that that issue would be resolved by the end of this calendar year, at which point Council can then reconsider how it might go forward with construction of a bridge over the Corowick Creek. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Matchlick, and thank you, Mr. Shannon. Any other councillors' questions without notice? Sorry. Okay, motions without notice.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have a motion without notice that officers implement a new award specifically under the category of Melton Disability Award for all future Australia Day celebrations, and that officers present to councillors to offer some options as to what or who may be included in this category to celebrate and recognise the important contributions made by people and or organisations who are affected with disability. And I'll just hand that over, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Magilic, in fact. Okay, if there are no further motions without notice, urgent business. Neil? Okay, who could I have read the procedural motion? Here you go, Bob.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the procedural motion that pursuant to section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for reasons indicated, 18.1, 18.2 and 18.3.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder for this motion?
I'm happy to second that motion.
Thank you, Councillor Madaluski. The motion's been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Madaluski. All those in favour? Motion's carried. I want to thank the gallery for coming out this evening. Again, I want to wish everybody a very a happy new year, and we look forward to a great 2015. And please remember, the community budget presentations are on this Thursday night at the Melton Library, followed by this Saturday at the Caroline Springs Library. We want to hear people's initiatives and ideas for Melton going forward over the next 12 months budget year. Thank you and have a good night.